Welcome back to Casting the Net. It's been a little while, guys, since we've hopped on here to bring you an episode. We are now moving into 2025, and we have some special guests that are visiting us from our WIC department. We seek to detangle the wide net that public health casts here in East Texas. We are the Northeast Texas Public Health District, your local health department here in Tyler. And we have joining us today Bailey and Brianna Chavez, two of our nutritionists for our Women, Infants, and Children's Department. I do not have an intro for the ladies, but I will let y'all go ahead and just jump right in.
I can go first. My name is Bailey Chavez. I'm a recent graduate of Texas A&M University. I graduated in December of 2024, and then I applied for the job at WIC. I think it was in November. Applied, got news that I got the job, and then started in January. And since then, it was about 3 months of training. And so I finally got through the beginning, the introductory phase, and now I've been starting to do like all the different types of appointments that we have. And it's been really fun. And yeah, I'll let Brianna kind of introduce herself too.
Yes, so pretty similar to Bailey. I graduated from Texas A&M in December 2024 with a degree in nutrition and a minor in psychology. Got the job, like Bailey said. We can go a little bit more into how we like actually found out about the job later. I've been working as a nutritionist, and we applied to graduate school in January. We're going to be going to Stephen F. Austin starting in August, but it'll be an online program, so we'll still be able to work. And yeah, our end goal is to be a registered dietitian, and we're in the process of doing that now.
Yes. We can answer any more specific questions that you have.
Yeah, I guess the first one that comes to mind is, like, why nutrition? Like, why, what? Because as we spoke a little bit before we hopped on here, but being that I'm a kinesiology major, I did take a lot of the woman that I was dating at the time in college. She was a dietetics major, mm-hmm. and I had to take a whole bunch of nutrition classes, you know. But what kind of propelled y'all to venture into nutrition?
I feel like since we decided we wanted to be nutrition, like, or into nutrition, it was pretty, like, it's been pretty one-track mind for me anyways. But I got interested in nutrition around middle school. In sixth grade, I started doing, like, cheerleading first and then athletics in the later years. And so, obviously, nutrition plays a part in, like, performing well as, like, an athlete. And so whenever I learned about that, I was, like, a huge perfectionist growing up and still am, kind of. Or basically, I still am. And so I heard about, like, nutrition that can make you, like, a better performer. And I was like, oh, yes, I can do that. And so I started getting really interested in it. I was also taking a health class as an elective. And so I learned more about it through there. At first, my relationship with it wasn't the best. And I've had my ups and downs. But learning about it, like, from a scientific perspective and then being able to bring, like, my faith into that to help it keep my relationship with food healthy has been something that's been really cool. And so that's how I kind of got interested in it. And then throughout high school, we got involved in the FFA, which is the Future Farmers of America Association. And through that, we did some science fair projects about nutrition because obviously nutrition and agriculture are related.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so through that, we just learned more about nutrition. We're able to learn, get a lot of scholarships for nutrition and ended up going to Texas A&M, majoring in it. We've always just been really blessed in that area. And so it's just something that I feel like was the path that's meant for us. And it's been a long journey and we're still not done, but one day we'll get there. But it's definitely a field that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. Bailey, she kind of started getting interested in nutrition first. And since we are so close and we still are, I naturally kind of,
she copied me.
I just kind of like picked up on it, I guess. And then, because we did everything together, so she was like wanting to eat healthy, and I was like, oh, I should probably eat healthy too. And so then, like she said, we started doing like science fair projects in junior high going into high school, and it like specifically about nutrition, and we were really good partners in that because we're twins, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. We won like state and nationals, and so it was just like this whole thing. And yeah, just got interested in it, decided to add a psychology minor because nutrition and psychology goes well together and we need more hours for a scholarship. And so, yeah, that's how we kind of got started.
College was definitely, nutrition, like, it's not an easy major, that's for sure. some people major in nutrition to go to like pre-med or to go to like medical school. So it's definitely a lot of science classes like biochemistry, chemistry, biology, all those different courses. And A&M is definitely, it wasn't a walk in the park, that's for sure. And a lot of nutrition professors are super strict and like type A. And so like doing work for them was very hard, but it was like a good challenge and they definitely caused us to grow. And a lot of the other nutrition majors were super smart, super talented. So college was definitely a humbling experience, but it was definitely full of a lot of growth. So I'm definitely grateful for it. I'm grateful we went to A&M, and then I also feel like SFA, though, will be a good fit for us because it's back at home for grad school, and so we'll probably end up working in around the East Texas area, and so being able to go to grad school in East Texas, I think, will be a good experience as well.
Yeah. It's funny that you bring up Texas A&M and SFA. So last weekend, we were actually at Bryan College Station. My wife's stepbrother graduated with an engineer's degree, so so we were out there to celebrate his graduation. But my wife actually graduated from SFA.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy!
And in case y'all didn't hear it, guys, these two sisters are twins. So it's like you kind of slipped that in there, being that it's in an audio format, you can't see that. Yeah. But we'll have it in the we'll have the picture in the thumbnail for sure. But that's very unique, you know. And like you said, she copied you. And
yeah, I was like, kind of a habit. Okay.
What a word! What a word to use.
Yeah, that's just kind of how I don't know. That's just how it worked out. And I guess we decided we wanted to be a dietitian because actually this kind of plays into WIC because we were. People would ask us what we want to be when we grew up, and eventually we said nutrition once we started getting interested in it. We said we wanted to be nutritionists because that's all we knew, like, you enter nutrition, you'd be a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually telling someone who, my mom's a hairstylist, she was working with another hairstylist, and we're telling her that, and she was like, oh, you don't want to be a nutritionist, you should be a registered dietitian because they, like, you have to get a master's degree, and, like, you probably would have a little bit of a better job with that. And so we're like, okay, so we kind of shifted our end goal. Instead of just being nutritionists, we want to be dietitians, which currently we're nutritionists at WIC. We had to have a bachelor's degree to do that. But then we kind of shifted our goal to be a registered dietitian. And she, I think she had worked at WIC. That's why she knew
she was
about
like
dietitian. Yeah. And so it was just cool that she worked at WIC at one point. And so that's how she kind of knew about being a dietitian. And then we ended up, like, now we work at WIC. And so it was just kind of a full circle moment. And we went to WIC whenever we were little kids, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, and we see that a lot. Like, a lot of our employees and stuff, you know, Terrence on a previous podcast that we had with Takora and Jenny Lassiter, some of our leadership over WIC. Takora was a WIC mom. Mm-hmm. And Terrence utilized with his first child, I believe he used the WIC program. but we see that a lot, you know, that kind of people that utilize the program end up inevitably kind of gravitating towards maybe because of that understanding and empathy. And, you know, it's like wanting to help others. It's like I was in that position. So it's like, and it helped me, you know. Yeah. So that's awesome. Let's see. Like, I've been with NetHealth for 6 years now. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. What does a day look like for you guys in the WIC office? Because y'all are at 815, correct?
Mm-hmm.
815, okay.
Yes.
It's, I can go into it. Okay.
So basically, we get there, well, on Mondays, we get there at 10, and then we go until 7. So how it works is it starts, like, at the nutrition assistants will get the participants. They'll sign in. And they'll take them back to a lab, and they'll get the information, like the income,
residence, income, or I said that.
All that stuff. And then once they're all ready, they'll say that they're ready for the nutritionist. We have a chat going, so they'll say, this participant is ready for a CA. So nutritionists are also called CAs, or certifying authority, which that was new to me. I was like, I'm a CA? I was like, I don't know what that is, but... Same word. I don't know why. I feel like someone else could explain that. But, they say that they're ready. And we have, like, a rotation that we switch. Like, a new person goes first every week. So, actually, this week, I'm first. Then we have a little slip for the participants. And so, I'll grab the slip off the board and go back to my office and just look through the chart
mainly we look at their iron levels, which the nutrition assistant will prick their finger, and the kids are always screaming because
I'm sure
it's very scary for them. It's like literally screaming, and
those
it doesn't
things hurt, man.
It doesn't. It does not hurt that bad.
It
I
does.
Was scared.
It really depends on where they do it on the finger, though. Like,
yeah,
if they do, if you do it like on the top versus like the base, like. It's sore, man.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, in a specific place. Yeah.
Our mom said we kicked the nutrition assistant when we were little. So yes. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was me. We were the bad kids.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they'll do that and also check height and weight. And so I'll mainly look at if they're how the iron levels are, if they're low, high, if they're good. And then also weight, if they're underweight, normal, or healthy, overweight, or obese. And then I'll go into the room and we, depending on the type of appointment, we'll do, like, if it's a mom and baby, then we'll ask questions about the baby first and then the mom and then get them both certified because they'll both get benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And or it, there's pregnant moms that come in, talk to them about their pregnancy, or there's child certifications, which is for kids 2 to 5. And then
1 to 5?
No. Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah, 1 to 5. And then just the infants are 0 to 1. And so just depending on the type of appointment, there's also formula exchanges where people will bring in formula that's not really working for the baby and exchange it for a different kind. And then sometimes there's prescriptions, like a baby will be prescribed a certain prescription that's not one of the basic ones that we offer. And so we'll have to process the prescription and do that.
Offhand, I know that, you know, WIC and NetHealth promotes breastfeeding, you know, first and foremost. I know Takora is a big advocate. Me and my wife are actually expecting our first.
Congratulations.
Appreciate
That's
it.
So exciting.
So we're like, you know, I'm very blessed to be able to work at an organization who is super cognizant of those kinds of things. I mean, I have like an infinite amount of resources and
yeah.
and women to ask to be like, you know, hey, give me some pointers about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, do y'all like, does WIC offer a lot of different formulas? Like, is it like, or is it like a, just a select few brands?
Yeah, we have, so we have a contract with Infamil, and so we offer a lot of Infamil formulas. So, but the only Similac one we offer, I believe, is the soy one. But those are the ones, like, we have, I think it's 5 that you don't have to have a prescription for. Mm-hmm. 4 of those are Infamil, and then there's a Similac soy one. And then we have a whole formulary list of ones. The formulas you can get, but you have to have a prescription from the doctor. So you just have to make sure, like, we have a form. You have to make sure they fill out. They have to have a qualifying condition, like if they're underweight, if they have an allergy or something. And then they have to, the doctor has to write for how long they prescribe it for. Yeah. It could be 6 months, a year, or something like that. So you can get a bunch of different formulas on WIC. Just some of them require a prescription if they're, like, for a special condition or something.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, if there's a breastfeeding peer counselor available, they or a lactation consultant, they'll go in usually before the nutritionist and talk to the mom if she's breastfeeding and kind of give them some pointers if they're needing help. There's a lot of different issues. That's not our expertise, but sometimes we'll have to step in and kind of, if there's not a peer counselor available, we'll have to step in with that and kind of assist.
Yeah. Do y'all see from y'all's experience that moms are more apt to be like, do you think that moms have to be convinced to breastfeed? The moms that you are seeing are more, like, they're naturally like, no, I want to breastfeed instead of formula. Or do y'all see kind of, is there, like, a bias at all? Do y'all see that at all?
I think that a lot of moms, or most moms that I see, they want to breastfeed because that's, I feel like that's something that's taught, that that's, like, the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And I do, I feel like I do see a lot of, like, mom guilt, I think, in terms of if they're not able to. And so then that's when you have to, like, reassure them that it's okay, like, some, like, you just do your best and you're doing great as a mom still.
Yeah.
But most moms that I see, they want to. It's just about making sure they have, like, the support they need, that, like, they know how to do it properly. If they, like, I don't know, we can offer nutrition tips. They can talk to a lactation consultant.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of resources available. It's just trying to set them up for success. And then even if they don't meet their goals, like, reassuring them that that's okay. They're still a great mom.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know that there can be obviously, like, some stigmatizing, like, all that, so, like, that social pressure that a mom can put on herself. Obviously, I'm not a mother, but I, you know, me and my wife have been talking about it, and I was like, you know, like, hopefully your milk comes in and everything goes, you know, swell and, you know, as it's supposed to. But in the event that something like that doesn't, or if there are issues, it's like, that doesn't make you any less of a mother, you know, or like, giving natural birth versus like cesarean, you know, mm-hmm. having a C-section. It's like, I'm not going to say I could put myself in the idea of understanding, because I obviously never would be able to, but from a psychological perspective, I could see that that would make somebody feel like I'm not enough, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not mom enough to be able to like give a natural birth. And it's like, no, you're still a mother. You still carried that child for 9 months.
Yeah. I have so much, like working for WIC, I have so much, which I respected moms before, obviously, but just seeing how much like love they have for their kids and just how much goes into being a mom. Cause we don't have any like little siblings. I have little cousins, but I don't have little siblings. And so just seeing how much time and like effort it takes to raise children. Yeah.
They'll be switching formulas. They'll like have to change a diaper in the middle of the appointment. And even today, a mom told me about like her birth experience, and it wasn't very pleasant. She was like telling me all about it, and I was like, "This is a lot of work to be a parent." And so, no matter how your baby got here or how you feed them,
it's still something.
And the formulas, they're made to be as like to mimic breast milk as much as possible, so mm-hmm. they're still like gonna be good for the baby. So, like, it's going to be okay either way.
Yeah, and some moms, like, they're trying to go back to school, but go back to work. They can't just, not every mom can just kind of put their life on hold for a little bit to breastfeed. And so, and there's, like, tragedies that happen. There's a lot of stress usually in this population. And so sometimes it just doesn't work out, and that's okay. Definitely want to make them feel less than.
Yeah. How has, like, being that y'all are twins, do y'all work, like, do they have y'all, like, side by side, or do y'all, they like
literally
separate
in the same
y'all?
Office.
No, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we're actually going to move into another office soon.
Still together, though. Yeah, I think it's going to be a third girl in there. Mm-hmm.
How does that play a role in kind of how y'all navigate, you know, through a day?
Yeah. I would say that, I mean, we are used to being together in college. We shared a dorm room for 3.5 years. We lived on campus for that long. And we hadn't shared a room since we were like in intermediate school before then, and we've always done a lot of things together, so we're kind of used to it. I think that we have our moments.
We definitely, sometimes we forget that people are like around and we'll just start arguing, and then we'll hear the other nutritionists laughing.
Not like arguing,
but just like
just having discussions.
Like if I'm like, where are the car keys? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, find them.
Just like, but it's helpful to work together, I think, because we're able to like ask each other questions if we need to. And so like the other day we do what's called chart reviews. And so we review like each other, all the nutritionists review. We choose charts to review of other nutritionists just to make sure we're like following protocol, doing everything right. So I honestly tried not to get some of Brianna's because I wanted to see how the other nutritionists do it, because they've been there longer. And so I just wanted to see, like, learn from them. But I did end up getting one of Brianna's. And so I was like, I found a mistake on one of them. And I was like, I was asking her about it. I was like just double checking, but I didn't want her to get defensive. So I was just like, isn't this like, this is how you would do it correctly, right? And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, okay, good, because this is yours and you need to correct it.
I was like, what? And so, yeah, but it was helpful going into this job, because I would be nervous going into like a brand new job, like post-grad. Like I have respect for people that aren't twins and that just go into places like, which they're used to it doing stuff by themselves. But I know I was like already kind of nervous, but having a twin to kind of start the job with me, like made it a lot easier. Like we know we're going to have someone there that we know who we're going to eat lunch with, like, just made it a whole lot easier. And people have always told us growing up, like, oh my gosh, y'all need to go y'all separate ways and like major in different things. And I mean, honestly, like I see what they're saying, but it helps from like, honestly, it will help in the future from a marketing standpoint. Like we're like the nutrition twins, like it'll help with that. Yeah. And like, we were thinking we were going to have to separate once we graduated college and, like, get different jobs. Because when we looked at the website to apply to WIC, they were only hiring one nutritionist. And we were like, well,
we're a package deal.
Yeah, I was like, we both applied. But yeah. I was like, well, I guess only one of us is going to get it.
Yeah.
And then we both applied, both got an interview, did the interview, like, one right after the other. It was on Zoom.
They were like, weren't you just here?
Yeah. I was like, what? And then I was like, well, I guess only one of us might get it if either one of us get it.
Yeah, and so I got a call first, and she was like, I think it was Jenny,
And she was like, yeah, you got the job. And I was like, oh, no, because Bailey's going to be so mad because that means that she didn't get it. And so Bailey was in my, we were in our dorm. And I was like, did she say you got it? And I was like, mm-hmm. And she was like, dang it. And then Bailey got a call and I was like, oh, no, she's going to tell you right now you didn't get the job. And then she was like, you also got the job. And we were like, what? And then she was like, yeah, we decided to hire both of y'all because you're basically. Like,
well, we were prepared to split up, but God said no.
Yeah. So I was like. I guess it's meant to be. I mean, we have our differences. Like, we're definitely
we have different side hustles. Like, we have our own. Oh, we have the same main job, but we have our own different hobbies and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that. What are some of those hobbies?
Well, you can tell them about your jobs.
She has like 5 jobs.
Not really. Well, I have a Cricut business that I do. You know, like the vinyl.
Oh yeah.
I like to do designs with that, like T-shirts. Decals, stuff like that.
Dude, those Cricut machines have come a long way.
Yeah,
man.
It's fun. It's definitely, like, mine's definitely very, like, on a small scale.
Yeah.
But it's still fun for me. I'm still learning, and it's stuff that I can, like, improve at.
And you're...
Yeah, what do you mean?
You got kind of, a little job with that.
Oh, yeah. I do t-shirt. Help, which I haven't necessarily started yet, but I have a job with a lady that works in my town that she has her own, like,
T-shirt
business, and so I plan to help out with that. And then on Saturdays I work at a boutique. And then I think that's it.
Yeah, in college I was a Terry Foundation scholar, and so that gave me a full ride scholarship. And so throughout college that was kind of like my thing. I would like a couple times a year I'd have to go with the scholarship group and do like different events, like banquets, stuff like
that.
What is the Terry? I'm not familiar with the Terry Scholarship.
So it's a foundation based in Texas. They give full rides to kids that have like, it's like based on academic excellence, financial need, and leadership. And so in high school, my FFA advisor actually told me about the scholarship in junior high when I was in 8th grade. We had just won state in a FFA contest, and she was like, oh my gosh, if you keep this up, you're going to be a really good candidate for this scholarship. And both of us were, she was like, you are both going to be good candidates. And then come senior year, we both applied. I ended up getting the scholarship, and Bailey didn't, which was very sad. And see, that's another thing. We tried to split up then because if you get the scholarship, typically, you have to live in the dorms with another Terry scholar. And so we were like, this is the end. It's like, see you later. But we're still gonna live in the same like dorm, but not the same room. And so I was like, it came to be the last day of roommate assignments, and I had asked if there was a possibility that Bailey could room with me, just because we share clothes, like we share.
We could share appliances.
Yeah, like, we could share. Like, it would just save money.
Right.
We wouldn't have to buy 2. Yeah. And at first, the lady was like, "No, like you have to live with a Terry scholar." And I was like, "Okay, I guess it's fine." And so, but then the last day I got a text from her and she was like, actually, we had a Terry scholar cancel and there's room for your sister if she wants to live with you now.
They didn't give me the scholarship, but they gave me a room.
Yeah. And I was like, that's crazy.
That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we ended up rooming together. And so all the Terry scholars have to live together the first year on campus. And me and Bailey just never left the dorm because we don't really like change that much. And so like college is a lot of change, and like, living on campus was convenient, though, because we could walk to class. And we didn't have to battle the traffic. College Station morning traffic is crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, every year, new Terry scholars would come into the same dorm. So, like, we knew who we were going to be surrounded with. And it was fun getting to know all the other scholars, like, watching each class. So that was cool. So that was kind of how I separated myself in college. And then recently in April, I was on the scholarship panel, like, interviewing the candidates to choose the scholars. So that was cool. That was like my little side hustle for a little bit. I had to read scholarship applications.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. A really cool experience. And then also I mainly run our podcast now.
I'm about to hop back on though.
Yeah.
Sure, it's like a podcast and blog.
Yeah. We have. And so I've been writing and doing that stuff a
and
lot.
You're like, you have your scholarship thing that you made.
Oh yeah. And also, yeah, I started this, our podcast, which I'm about to say the name so everyone can go look.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. It's called Happiest Here, because that's like when we're creating content for that, it's like our passion. Like, we love doing it and we don't get paid at all. We just like to do it for fun, which we'd love to get paid. but we not at the moment. And so that's why it's called Happiest Here. But we have like little like sectors off of it. So like one of Bailey's that she started is for like disordered eating. So she started like you have like a collection of resources available for people who are struggling with that. And then I started like an academic mentorship program, which I haven't had many clients. But actually, I have, but not officially, like, under the program. Like, people would always ask me for help, like, reading scholarship applications, preparing right. for interviews. And I was like, maybe I should start, like, a whole little.
Yeah, you got to funnel them.
Yeah. You I was like, I need all of y'all to come under this branch of my company. and so now no one's asking me.
Yeah, as soon as you make it formal, they're yeah, like, master's like,
for it. I'm like, okay. But I think Happiest Here will. Hopefully, once we become RDs, hopefully it'll be all private practice yeah. so we can do different counseling for nutrition and, like, we could do, like, disordered eating stuff. We could do pregnancy stuff, like, mm-hmm. anything like that. Any kind of nutrition thing, like weight management.
Yes. So
that's just, like, our little passion project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A that's lot awesome. Going on.
That's awesome for you. Yeah, that's y'all do definitely have a lot going on.
I feel like trying to explain our brain. It's like so many things. It's like I'm doing one thing, she's doing one thing. And
we need like a board like to write out.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, draw my life.
So y'all been with NetHealth how long now?
Since January. So
January.
It's May now.
6 months is on July 6th. I know that because I can start using my vacation hours.
I think it's July 5th.
Which
no,
I don't.
It's the 6th.
Mm-hmm. Which I guess maybe they're counting like time off because 6 months is in June.
No, Bailey, from January to February is 1 month. It doesn't start 1 month in June.
Whatever. This is the kind of stuff we would argue about.
But so as I stated earlier, I've been with NetHealth 6 years going on seven. And I always like to ask, like any profession that you get in, I've had this conversation a lot. It's like it's very easy to become like jaded, you know, it's like things go this way, you know, it's like not necessarily pushing innovation. It's like, this is the way things have always been done and it's going to be done this way. But I'd like to know y'all's perspective, being that y'all have been here for going on 6 months now. What are some of the biggest nutritional challenges that you see mothers face here in East Texas? Big question.
It's a good question. Well, seeing as if they're visiting WIC, that means that they're struggling financially to provide for themselves without WIC, or they have a low enough income to qualify. And so I guess with the patients I see is just priorities. So a lot of them they're prioritizing just getting food on the table, so they don't necessarily have the privilege to focus on making sure it's super nutritious. They just want to have enough food to feed their families. They're not necessarily focused on getting good nutrition. So, like, we issue their benefits, and then we provide nutrition education. We can't really control whether they implement the education. We just provide it. But I feel like a lot of moms, like, I try to really be very, I guess, intentional with my clients and, like, really just have, like, a good conversation with them about it, try to give them very actionable steps so that they can actually apply the information. It's not just, like, eat more fruits and vegetables because they, like, know that. But I try to give them helpful steps to actually implement that. That are like tangible for them, because I know their first priority is obviously just getting food on the table. And then if I can give them some quick, easy things that can help make their lives more, I guess, healthy or something. Yeah. Healthier, make them healthier individuals. Then I try to do that, but I can't give them like a whole list of things that they need to be doing because that's not their main priority right now.
I think it's so true though. It's like being in public health, we have, like, I wouldn't say an infinite amount of resources, but we got a lot. You know, we got a lot that we can offer the community. But it's like, you can give somebody information, but like you said, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that they're going to implement that into their lives. It's like, and there's multiple different avenues of thought of how it is that you, like, inject that information into somebody. It's like, how do you get them to drink the water? You know, how do you get them to do that? And I know it can be frustrating. And obviously, as y'all know, in the era that we're in, you know, people are coming to the understanding that maybe all the food that we have isn't in our, you know, in our best interest, and combating those kinds of things. It would have been one thing years ago to get somebody to eat a healthy, you know, have a healthy diet. But now you have that coupled with, well, even if I do eat things that are claiming to be healthy, they're not really healthy. So that's like another added layer of confusion and difficulty to wade through, you know, to the, through those waters.
I think, like, it can be very overwhelming for them. So I try just to give them just, like, one goal, one change they can make to be, like, healthier, whether that be drinking more water and, like, asking them, okay, you want to drink more water, like, when are you going to do that? Or if you want to, maybe they need to focus on, like, if they have a child that's overweight, we don't recommend weight loss for them because they're kids. Like, we don't recommend weight loss, just living a healthy lifestyle, and that weight, healthy weight will come naturally. So, like, what's how they can implement more vegetables into their child's diet? Where can they add it? Can they add it at breakfast, lunch? Like, can they add it to their eggs? Can they give them vegetables as a snack? Just very actionable things, like SMART goals. Like, that's something that I feel like is something that's thrown around often, but if you actually break it down and use it, that can be very helpful for them.
Mm-hmm. So. And it just, it gets tough though whenever you like will tell the parents, like, your child is, like, I try to say it nicely, nicest way possible, they are obese. But like I say, like, I show them the growth chart and like they're plotting a little bit high in weight for their height and age. And sometimes they're like, so you're like, they don't think that their child has an issue, which sometimes, like, if you look at the child, they don't actually look like overweight. Sometimes that can happen. But if they don't actually like want to make the change, then you're kind of like, well, I don't really know how to help. So yeah, that's when you kind of just do the best that you can. And then moms also, I see another issue is like after they have the baby, like all of their focus is taking care of the baby. And so they don't really have a whole lot to give to themselves. Like, they're just trying to eat what they can. A lot of them do struggle with like being overweight, especially after having the baby. And so that's another issue that I see. And I think that we could do a better job probably of helping the new moms kind of figure out how they can prioritize
still care for themselves in terms of like self-care, fueling themselves, even just like giving them enough time to like, or making, helping them decide to make enough time for them just like go on a walk or like make sure they're eating proper meals. Because obviously after you have the child, your focus should be heavily on the child, but also you're going to be able to take better care of the child if you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. But it's so, I feel so bad for them because they're going to be like working. Like, the kids don't always sleep. Like, this mom was telling me today that her baby only slept 2 hours last night, and she came in.
I'm prepping for that right now.
Yeah. She came in and she was like in her work clothes, and she was like, yeah, my baby only slept 2 hours last night, and she was about to go to work. She was like in a hurry, and then her husband was in the car because he worked nights and he was taking a nap, and they're about to switch off the baby. So like neither one of them are getting any sleep. And I was
just like, very real tough situation.
Yeah. And so how are you going to expect that mom to be like working out and like fixing yourself all these like super nutritious meals.
Make time for yourself.
So it's definitely tough.
I've been having this conversation with the wife again. We're getting a lot of things kind of, you'll never be ready, you'll never be prepared, no matter, you know, it's like you can have, it's like like the whole plan goes out the window once, you know, it's like once it happens. But we've been talking about, you know, it's like, you know, we're gonna be a lot, like it's gonna be a lot. Like, she's a teacher. So she was a music major. So she deals with kids all day. So she teaches first through fifth. And I was like, yeah, you're going to get deal with the kids all day, and then you got to come home
with
to our kid. I was like, are you going to have enough bandwidth? You know what I mean? So it's like we had these conversations, but but convenience, man, convenience is like a killer, because it's like we live in an era of convenience, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like everything's convenience. We went from push mowers to riding lawnmowers, right? So it's like these aren't little things. These are, you know, we went to people standing at the sink, washing dishes, engaging their core in their lower muscles. And now it's like throw them in the dishwasher, go sit on the couch because that thing's out of the way. Like, that's physical activity that is no longer being had. Like, these things have, you know, real implications to them. Mm-hmm. So it's like those little, but I told her, I was like, you're going to be tired. I was like, we're not going to want to cook dinner. I was like, and you're not going to want to just like throw some, you know, Tyson nuggets in. And this is no shot at Tyson, but I'm just saying there are more healthy, you know, but the nutritional food, a lot of times, nutritional density and stuff that comes in the form of fresh fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, as y'all know. So it's like convenience is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we see it wrecking havoc on, I mean, Terrence says this all the time. It's like we're number one here in East Texas, but in the worst way, because we have the we have the worst health disparities here in East Texas. Like infant mortality at an all-time high here in East Texas, which is heartbreaking, man. It's like our moms shouldn't be, you know, these kiddos should be, shouldn't be dying, you know. Kids shouldn't be going hungry, you know. It's like we live in a country of abundance. Kids mm-hmm. shouldn't be going hungry. Yeah. You see restaurants and stuff throwing food away, you know, just like it's crazy. It's mm-hmm. just... But that is the reality of our current situation, and it's awesome that we have nutritionists and, you know, twin sisters that care about this kind of stuff and are trying to educate one simple task a day at a time. You know, it's like try to implement this one thing. You know, you don't have to be perfect across the board, but just try to change one thing mm-hmm. and then, you know, take it step by step.
Because that's, I mean, that's really all you can do. Like, you can want to make all these changes, but you have to ask yourself, okay, like, what's the next right thing that you can do? Because you can, like, the only option is to go one step at a time. You can't change everything at once. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're not going to be successful at all that. So just try to change one thing, master that. You can move on to the next thing after you do that, unless you're going to overwhelm yourself.
Yeah, and it's crazy, though, like, seeing, because there's so many different aspects of nutrition. Like, we're talking about, like, some people that are... they need to eat healthier and like eat more fruits and vegetables, but there's also like a whole other population, which is not, we don't actually see a lot of like eating disorders that way, but like there's a whole other population that like struggles in the opposite way. So like being a nutrition professional, you have to be able to see like
both
like,
sides.
Yeah. Like public health, like a lot of it is like promoting like walking more, like eating more fruits and vegetables. But like there is a small population, or it's probably not small, but they often get overlooked. Like some people need to do like the opposite of that, which is something that a lot of people don't think about. But since we've had backgrounds with like disordered eating, that's something that I think about, because I'm like, some people don't listen to this information, because some people actually do need to rest more and like yeah. eat more.
But for the like the general public, that might not be the case.
Yeah.
So I think moving forward, we could offer like more programs for like the more small, not smaller groups, but the more niche groups. Like, we don't necessarily, like, yeah, we don't talk about that a lot at WIC. I know it is something that we could talk about. Like, you could refer them to a registered dietitian or something. But I think moving forward, that would be a cool thing to get into. But I understand, like, from a public health perspective, you have to talk to the general public about mm-hmm. the bigger overarching problems. But as a dietitian, that's, like, one of my goals, to kind of help, like, give more personalized advice.
Yeah.
Which there's only so much time in a WIC appointment to do that. So that's yeah. why we kind of have to give, like, quick... help them make smart goals, and then you have to move to the next appointment just because we have limited time.
Yeah, I say me and my wife are small. I eat a lot more than she does. My wife's a little bitty. so it's like, I've been trying to get her to gain weight. I'm like, yeah. You got to eat, woman. Like, yeah. Eat. She's little. She was a music major. She marched drum corps. So she got plenty of exercise and stuff in college. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't eating enough. You know, yeah. she dealt with that in college and stuff. I'm over here airing out her whole life and everything on the airwaves. I love you, babe. I love you. But no, it's like we went recently to one of our OB appointments. What was that, like 2 weeks ago? And she lost a pound. I was like,
yeah,
what are you?
Like, you're pregnant.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, yeah, it does depend on what your weight was before you got pregnant.
But also, like, when you're pregnant, people may suffer from, like, nausea and, like, it's just tough, like, yeah. And they're like, I don't want to eat, but you like have to.
See, girls have it so hard, like,
literally.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
But she eats like a bird, man. Like, she eats like, yeah. And like it's bad for me because like she always has all these leftovers, and like she's like, you just finish it, and I'm like, stop. Like, stop. I'm like, stop,
I can't
feeding me.
You finish it. That's funny.
And like sometimes she'll put it away, and she'll like say that she's gonna get to it, and then it just ends up going bad, and I'm just like, I knew you weren't going to finish this. Yeah.
Just tell me so I can give it to the homeless.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I love you, babe. I'm just kidding. I'm happy to eat your leftovers. Even if it means I gain weight. No. That's awesome, though. So, yeah, moving forward. So this is the season that you're in right now. You're at WIC. And y'all alluded to this a little bit. but y'all are looking to get y'all's master's. And so have y'all already applied? Y'all are already in the program. Mm-hmm. Nope. So, like, how much longer do y'all have? I think you might have said.
Like, well, we haven't started, but we start our master's degree online in August. This August, it's online, so we'll still be able to work at WIC. The program, I think it will graduate with our master's degree and internship, I think, around May 2027, and then we'll qualify to take the RD exam, and then we'll have to pass the RD exam, and then we'll be RDs.
Mm-hmm. So would y'all, are y'all thinking about staying in East Texas, or just wherever the tide takes you? Are y'all open to kind of...
I mean, right as of right now, I see myself staying in East Texas just because, I mean, I did move away, but then I ended up coming back.
For college.
So I don't know for sure, but I think it would be cool to stay in East Texas because in high school we volunteered at UT Health, that hospital. And so I feel like it would be cool to either end up working there or at another East Texas hospital because we have a lot of connections in East Texas that would be helpful. And then we also do have some connections in, like, College Station and then around Texas from organizations that we were involved with in college. So we have, like, connections, like, everywhere, but I think it would be cool to just give back to our community that we grew up in and that, I don't know, people would actually, like, listen to us because they kind of know us, like, watch us grow up, and then they're always asking us for nutrition advice anyways, and I think it would be cool to stay here. But we'll see. Yeah. My mom's listening. She'd be like, you better stay. Can't say for sure, but as of right now, that's kind of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. I do have to ask, guilty pleasure food. What's y'all's, like, go-to thing?
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes, like, I forget that, like, that's, like, a thing. Like,
she's like, everything's a guilty pleasure.
Well, I, like, eat mostly, like, I have the certain things that I like, and I'm pretty routine, and so I don't really indulge. Like, the things that I eat, they're just, like, what I eat. Like, I have my desserts, and they're just, like, healthy desserts. Like, it's, like, dark chocolate, or I have my sugar-free hot chocolate with my no-fat milk, and I like that.
But are we talking, like 80% cocoa, or, like,
I'm good with, like, the sugar-free Swiss Miss. Like, I'm not particular.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not super particular, but, like, I really don't eat, like, ice cream or anything like that. Because for me, like, I'm fine with my diet. I don't feel like I need to indulge because I like the foods I eat.
Yeah.
So that's just my perspective. I feel like if you feel like you're restrictive in your diet, then it might not be the right diet for you or lifestyle for you.
Yeah. I would say, like, we have, like, certain things that we eat. Like, my mom, she helps us, like, meal prep and stuff. She makes, like, these peanut butter cookies, but she, like, if there's, like, a recipe, we'll always, like, alter it to, like, we'll change, like, we'll use whole wheat flour for the cookies, stevia,
dark chocolate,
the peanut butter without, like, the other stuff added to it, just peanuts.
Which I think tastes good.
Yeah, but we're so used to the stuff that we eat, like,
we've been eating like this since, like, middle school, so, like, my mom made me, because I had my wisdom teeth out, a couple weeks ago, and so I've been having to eat soft foods, and she made me some sugar-free pudding, and she put it in the fridge, and then I ate it, and I was like, this tastes like ice cream. She was like, it tastes like ice cream. I was like, I mean, keep in mind that I don't really eat ice cream. I was like, but to me, it tastes good. So, like, it's an acquired taste, which doesn't sound like, we're not convincing people right now.
But if I do like, sometimes I'll get, like, coffees at, like, the coffee shops, but, like, I always get, like, sugar-free just because that's what, like, that's just what I do.
And,
like,
I drink mine black here at the office.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, no.
I have to have some kind of sweetener in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Everyone has their preferences, but right. I think you just find what works for you, and then if, like, you have to think long-term. If you feel restricted and, like, you need to indulge often, then you're not going to be able to, like, you can follow it for a little while, and it's just not good long-term for your health,
Crash-out diets don't work for a reason.
And you can still have, like, some of your favorite foods, but I think what the biggest thing is portion sizes. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to a restaurant, they're going to give you a huge portion, and so that doesn't really help people because they're just, like,
I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat the whole plate.
Yeah.
They'll give you, like, a million tacos.
And also beverages, they have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Like, if you drink Coke or any kind of sugar beverage, like, people don't think about the little things that add up. And so I think that's
ketchup,
where it gets people. Yeah, condiments, all that kind of stuff.
Mayonnaise.
So I got to ask, with a last name like Chavez, ¿hablan español?
This is our, like, this is my insecurity. It's so bad. Yeah, why did you have to bring it up?
Yeah, like, oh my gosh.
Because everyone thought when we got to WIC that we spoke Spanish.
They're like, oh yeah, they speak Spanish, so like, don't even worry about the language line.
Send all the
clients to them. Yeah, literally. And then like, we were like, no, we don't.
They were like, did you forget? What? They were like, we noticed you forgot to check the bilingual box.
Yeah, you forgot to check. And the thing is, like, our dad is Hispanic. He speaks Spanish. Our mom is white, and she also speaks Spanish, but we don't speak Spanish.
Because they said we didn't want to learn. I was like, what?
Yeah. Which I think what happened is that, for one, they don't talk to each other in Spanish. And so, like, in our house, we didn't grow up hearing Spanish, except for when we would go to my grandma's house, which we went over there very often. But we, like, whenever we went over there, we would just, like, we would talk to each other. And then we would
just point to things.
Yeah, we would just point to things. And we would tell my uncles that were there to just tell my grandma stuff. And, like, I know, like, the basic words. And, like, I feel like I'm picking up on some more, like,
Phrases I can, like, get. But, like, carrying on an actual conversation, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
And, like, if I like, a lot of times with my family, I'll just, like, listen. And, like, since I know kind of, like, the context, like, if my mom's telling a story, I kind of know what she's saying because of, like, certain words, but I don't know specifics.
Yeah. I've tried to learn, but yeah. I've always been so busy with school that my attention has gotten, like I always end up not finishing learning, obviously.
Yeah, and everyone's like, y'all are so smart and y'all can't learn Spanish. I'm like, God doesn't want me to learn Spanish. I don't know what to tell you. I tried, but I can't. It's, like, the thorn in my side or whatever the saying is. That's my excuse.
Yeah.
Maybe
pray,
one day.
You pray three times like Paul did?
I'll try. I don't know.
maybe once or twice more.
Yeah, maybe.
No,
so.
I've had this conversation with the wife as well. Because I do want my my daughter. Dang, it's crazy saying that.
A daughter. Yeah. That's cute.
Do you have a name picked out?
Oh, I don't want to say it out loud. I mean, we have a few that we're working on.
Well, you pretty much said everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, we don't. We have a few that we're working on. Mm-hmm. I think we have it narrowed down, but I don't want to say it. Just
understandable.
Yeah, I'm still chewing on it. Because I mean, this is like the name.
This is a big deal.
Names matter.
We can't really put that.
We're
on
already
the air
picking
yet.
Out the names for our future kids.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna say.
Yeah. Yeah, names matter, man. No, words matter. You know, things carry weight. Yeah. You know, identity and all that stuff. Yeah. But I was gonna say, oh man, train of thought.
Where you wanted them to be bilingual? Is
bilingual?
That what you're
yeah, that's where we were.
Does
going.
Your
sorry.
Wife speak Spanish?
No.
So how?
Yeah. So I was just gonna.
You speak Spanish?
Fluently. Yes.
What? How do you
man,
learn?
Now we look bad.
Yeah, we look really bad.
I'm half, so I don't. What? Look, I don't look Hispanic. Pero mi mamá es mexicana y viene de México. Y si lo hablo. So yeah, I'm
shocked right now.
We have no excuses. Yeah.
So that I think I did. I want to say that I might have asked you
probably
when y'all came in to get y'all's badges the first day y'all were hired. I'm sure. Because I feel a type of way sometimes when, because I have cousins that are full Hispanic. Mom and dad vienen de México. They came from Mexico. And they were born here in the States, and they don't speak it. And if they do speak it, it's very broken and very, like, if they went to Mexico, it's like they're going to have trouble holding a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm and sorry. Who made you feel some type of way?
No, it's fine.
He was just getting madder and madder. <Yeah. talking. laughs>
But no, I'm very blessed that I did learn it, and it's served me very well, mm-hmm. Even in this profession, in college. I mean, I could see the benefits completely outweigh the, you know, it's like for my daughter to know. I mean, we're also in Texas.
So now it's
actually,
on you.
Yeah, that's actually your responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
She doesn't know Spanish.
But my wife's doing Duolingo, so she does her.
Does it actually help her? Like, is she learning?
Yeah, well, being that she's a teacher, too, she kind of brought it up under. So this was something that she kind of took upon herself even before we even talked about, you know, having our first child. So, yeah, she does her due diligence because she does have, you know, again, because she's a teacher, I feel like she wants to be as equipped, I guess, mm-hmm. as possible. But, yeah, I'd say that she has been retaining it. I probably haven't been doing my part. I've been joking that one day I'm just gonna like come home and
only
like
talk in
the rest of the evening on some nights, you know, like Thursdays and Fridays. It's like you can only speak to me in Spanish.
Yeah,
it's like you gotta have to figure it out.
Yeah. That's what our parents would like tell her. We've tried so many different things, and my mom, she like learned in high school.
Yeah.
Like she's so smart. So I don't know what happened. We tried our best. And, like, the clients, I feel so dumb because the clients will come in and we look Hispanic. And I'm like, I walk in, they're like, hola. I'm like, hola. And then they're like, language line. They're like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I know this is, like,
but the language line is still, like, if you have the patience to, like, use it, then, like, it's still a good resource. Like,
Wait. What's the language line?
Oh. What? It's, like, the person that we call, or it's, like, we call a number, type in the number. And then we talk in English, and they'll translate for us in Spanish, and then they'll talk in Spanish, and they'll translate for us in English. And it works, like, perfectly fine, but it's just about making sure that they know that we're still going to treat them the same, like, give them the same service. Because I feel like sometimes they'll be, like, more closed off if they're, like, we don't speak the same language, so
they get annoyed, understandably. But if you kind of, that's where, like, you kind of have to show them, like, with your body language that you're still paying attention to what they're saying, like, still want them to be engaged in the appointment. Because sometimes they're just like, ugh, and, like, they don't want to engage as much. Mm-hmm. But I think you just kind of have to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm. So y'all call somebody on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of those prison phones where you're like,
it's just a regular
somebody's
phone.
It's like on the other side of the glass.
No, oh like, God. It's just one
like we
phone,
type in the number.
And it's on speaker. Yeah. And they say, they're like, hi, this is whoever from Language Line. And I'm like, hi. And they're like, tell me what you want to say, and I'll say it to them.
Yeah, which we don't have to say, like, okay, tell them this. Like, I just talk. Like, I'm like, hi, my name is Bailey. I'm the nutritionist. Yeah. And they'll say, like, they'll just say it. Like, they're Bailey. Yeah. But they're not.
But they're not. Well, usually they'll... Yeah. Usually they'll introduce themselves first. Well,
yeah. Yeah, just to clear up.
They're not. Yeah, they're not you. Yeah.
That's just not me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, actually, like, I forget that some, like, people that speak Spanish, they have no idea what Language Line is. Like, this one nutrition assistant was like, yeah, I don't know how to use the Language Line, which makes sense because she's never had to use it. Like, must be nice.
Yeah. We're using like WIC like language right now. Like,
yeah.
Niche.
Yeah, I will say though, even knowing Spanish, my mother didn't get a formal education. My father met her in Mexico, brought her back to the States. So she didn't get like a formal high school education or anything. So I will say that there was a challenge once I got like into like career territory of like the Spanish that I would use out in the general public or at home or among my family members, like having to find that new format
mm-hmm.
in like the professional world.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, we do this in English too, right? The English that you speak at home and then you put your professional voice on when you're talking to some corporate, you know, or whatever, you know, it's like we kind of code shift when we enter these other territories. And that's no different in another language. It's like the Spanish that I learned at home and that I'll speak with my family members and uncles and aunts and uncles is a different Spanish that I had to learn coupled with a specific topic such as like health information.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. There'll be some words that I'll say that even the interpreters like I'll say like preeclampsia and they're like I actually did a food demo today because we have a farmer's market every Thursday for May and June at WIC. And so part of it is like they do a food demo class and then they can go out, get their food vouchers and go shop at the farmer's market they have set up. And in the food demo, there were some Spanish speaking people. So I had to have a translator. And some of the words she didn't even know. She was like, I don't know how to say turkey. Which is like a basic word. But like, she just didn't know how to say some of the words. And so it is like, she was like, she was telling me today that she had to relearn some of the Spanish because it is different. And mm-hmm. even if you, like, you're from different parts of Mexico, like some people speak different. So.
Yeah, there's definitely different dialects. I mean, we do that too. I mean, you talk to a Gen Xer versus a millennial, it's like terms have changed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like,
definitely.
Even
like
now
they weren't like using
what?
Drip back in like 90s.
Like, how do you say slay in Spanish?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Pretty much, you know?
That's
it's a moving target.
Yeah.
Keeping
so
up
that
with
makes it harder for us. You know?
Yeah, so I guess you'll get a little slack.
Yeah, give us some grace,
yeah,
please.
Just a little bit.
I'm already hard enough on myself. I can't handle. I'm just kidding. It's
fun.
Yeah. So what's the, well, I mean, we kind of talked a little bit about that. Where y'all started, why y'all got into, you know, nutrition, kind of what drives you, what your day is, what y'all's day looks like in the WIC office, some helpful things that you might be able to encourage a mother, you know, one step at a time, maybe changing one thing in your daily routine to hopefully eventually get some traction to make some bigger changes when it comes to your diet and nutrition. What else, ladies? I mean, the future looks bright for you too. I mean, you're going to get y'all's master's, which is super awesome. Yeah. Maybe, hopefully. So being an RN registered nutritionist?
No. Registered dietitian.
Dietitian.
It's actually RDN. They changed it. RDN. It's like registered dietitian nutritionist.
RN's like registered nurse.
Yeah.
RDN.
Close.
Yeah. So it's not DN anymore. It's RDN.
It can be RD or RDN. They just added the nutrition, like RDN. So that way, whenever you're saying registered dietitian, some people are like, what is that? If you say registered dietitian nutritionist, they're like, oh, nutritionist. So it's kind of just like, so people know what you're talking about.
Now, does WIC have any registered? Mm-hmm. Who have y'all gleaned any info from any of the ladies?
Tammy Proctor. Tammy is, okay. Is one. She's the administrative RD. And then we have one. That we contact, because there's some things that only the dietitian can do, like they approve certain prescriptions and stuff.
And like they do, like the high, if we have a high risk person, we can, if they need like more specialized advice regarding their diet, we can refer them to the RD,
which is free for the clients. But a lot of them don't take it. They're like, no, like because it's like the priority thing. Like,
yeah, like they don't have time to worry about another appointment. And so yeah, we do have dietitians though at WIC. Mm-hmm.
So that would be a potential job opportunity.
Yes.
Do y'all foresee? It's probably too early to ask. Do y'all foresee WIC in y'all's future?
I definitely want to be like work with it for as long as possible, just because it is like close to my heart. Because we grew up with it, or until we were five, because they only offer it till we were five, and then we obviously worked here, and it's been a really good experience so far. And so it's also just a really great thing for the public. Like I'm like, this is just so cool that we're getting to help all these people, and we have different events for them, and just getting to actually meet with the families and make a difference in their lives is something that's really rewarding. And so I love it, and I love what they do. So I definitely want to be a part of it, whether that be just because the RD, some RDs can just be like on the phone, like you call them, they'll talk to the client, or some of them, I'm sure they work in the WIC office too. Some, like I think Tammy, she helps with different projects. She's not really doing a whole lot of counseling. So there's mm-hmm. a whole lot of job opportunities within WIC as a dietitian. So I definitely foresee it in my future.
Yeah. But even if you, like, say we go work at a hospital, we can still be advocates for WIC no matter what position we're in. Because, I mean, the people at the hospital, they refer the clients to WIC. And so I can advocate, like, have you heard about the WIC program? And I will have, I'll know exactly what formulas I can like prescribe them and like how to fill out the prescriptions correctly.
Basically no matter where we end up, we'll always be an advocate for WIC.
Yes.
WIC ambassadors. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's a good program for sure. Mm-hmm. And I like want everyone to have a good opportunity, like to eat healthy and have the food that they need. And so if that can ease like the financial burden, so they can focus on having actual health goals, then that's what I want to help them do.
Yeah.
Well, I think y'all are well on y'all's way on doing that, and y'all are actively doing that now, you know, with every mother and child that walks through those doors and gets to talk to you guys. I mean, I think y'all are doing the work that y'all are aspiring to do.
Thank you.
But, yeah, we're clocking in about an hour, so did y'all have any other – what's a good health tip or a good nutritional tip that you would sign off with?
That's a weird loaded question.
Yeah, yeah. Put you right on the spot there.
This. I would say, I mean, honestly, this is like the psychology minor in me coming
out. No, I was going to say something related. Okay, just go.
Well, basically, I think it has a lot to do with your mindset. And I think when it comes to nutrition, you have to really focus on your own goals, because like we were talking about earlier, it's a very personal thing. And so
your goals are going to be unique to you. Some people need to gain weight. Some people need to lose weight. Some people need to maintain weight. And so it's really, I would just say focused on you, what you need to do, because just control the controllables that you have power over and just try to keep a healthy mindset, because healthy looks different for everyone. And like, Evelyn, like that's like the truth. You just can only do what's healthy for you. And that may look different for someone else. So don't look at other people's like play. You don't have to copy what the influencers are doing on social media. Just do what you think is best for you. Take it one step at a time, and it's not going to happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. So I would just say focus on you and take it one step at a time.
Yeah, I feel like that covers a lot. But yeah, like the future of nutrition is in like precision nutrition. So like focusing on each individual client, but there's also public health, which is like broad. So a lot of different ways you can take it. But yeah, I would say just focus on not being hard on yourself and focusing on your whole self as an individual, because nutrition is just one small part of your day. You also have like jobs, families, school, like exercising. So if you can do like 30 minutes of exercise in a day and try to like not drink as many sodas, that's a good start. If you're trying to like lose or maintain weight, and then other things for other goals. But yeah, see, I can't even give one piece of advice because I feel like I need to talk to client one-on-one.
I'm like, I need to talk to the people with this problem and this problem. So I can't do the general advice thing. But that's the nutritionist, that's the future dietitians in us speaking.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. And I want to thank you personally for the expertise and the knowledge and that y'all bring to the WIC department and the work that y'all are getting to do for our babies and moms and dads too.
Yeah.
Here in East Texas.
Have a pure dad program.
Yeah, we got the pure dad program. Mm-hmm. But yeah, ladies, I appreciate y'all joining us. You stopping by and giving us a chat on how y'all got into WIC and nutrition. It's been an awesome chat.
Thank you for having us. It's been super fun. This is such a cool podcast, and I think it will definitely be an interesting listen, hopefully, for the people.
Yeah. Everyone's going to know a lot more about us at work.
Yeah, I think they'll glean a lot from the conversation. So for everyone listening, we appreciate y'all tuning in, and we're signing off. And as always, just stay in touch. You can find more about our WIC program. You can visit our website at mynethealth.org or shoot us an email at castingthenetpodcast. And I'll definitely link that stuff in the show notes for y'all to be able to click through and get to the information you need to. And we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Until next time.
weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So we thank everybody for listening to this episode of Casting the Net, and we look forward to speaking with you more in 2025.
George, we appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for making this a my first podcast such a positive experience.
Yeah, and we thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely have to see about having you back.
Thank you. Well, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
And scene.
And that's a wrap. Well, thank you.
We don't have an end.